Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Everybody, my name is Abby Murphy. Welcome back to the podcast. Woo, the crowd goes crazy. This is the That's Life podcast, and as you heard, I'm Abby Murphy, and that I'm the host of the That's Life podcast. Anyways, enough of that. If you're a first timer here, this podcast is dedicated to walking through the transition periods of life and how to go through that with a Christian lens. And majority of what I've learned and how I've been guided has been very, very heavily influenced by my parents. And today, you've heard from my mother, the birth giver of me. But it takes two to tango, everybody. And we have the other half of the production company of Abby Murphy. Without further ado, this is my dad.
Hey, Abby, and hey, listeners to the That's Life pod. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy. I didn't, like you guys know, I don't really plan out the pods. I just kind of talk. And so I talked with Dad a little bit, like a couple days ago, about wanting to talk about the pod, or taught him to talk on the podcast. But we really haven't planned much, so he's really starting off strong with the intro because I didn't even tell him to introduce himself, and then he just did it.
Well, I'm getting, you know, a little nervous. We'll see where this whole thing takes us, but I'm here talking and doing this with my daughter, so that always puts me at ease.
Yeah.
And it's good. I've listened to, I think maybe I've missed one episode, maybe.
Which one?
I don't remember because I missed it. So I
don't know. Wow.
But I've listened to all of them, maybe except that one, and so it's pretty neat to be on this week's episode.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So before I introduce Dad, I just want to say to everyone, this episode's coming out on Good Friday. So happy Good Friday if you're listening on Friday. If you're listening after that, if you're listening on Easter, happy Easter. He is risen. If you're listening on Good Friday, he has not risen yet. And it's a time to remember all of the steps and things and that go into that, which we'll talk about a little bit. But right now is called Maundy Thursday, which is basically the night before Jesus was crucified. And it's not, I don't want to say like symbolic because it actually did happen, but like this day is dedicated to remembering the Last Supper that Jesus had with his 12 disciples, the washing of the feet of the 12 disciples, and everything that goes with that. And if you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, like Easter is just like the Easter Bunny and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff, well, then you've come across on the right podcast because we're going to dive all into it. Not necessarily too deep into like the historical part of it, but more of what it means for us, specifically since I have Dad on the podcast, like how he's grown with his relationship, not only with Easter, but just in the church and learning who Jesus is. And Easter is the reason we have the relationship we do, the reason why we believe what we believe. It's literally the resurrection story. We're going to talk about all of it, and I'm super excited. But before we do that, I want to open up in prayer and then introduce Dad, and then we'll jump into it. So, Dad, would you like to pray?
Sure.
For the people?
Hey, God, thanks so much for bringing all of us together and the listeners and to be here with my daughter. We pray for a lot these days, and there's a lot of folks struggling out there in different ways, but also a lot to be grateful for that having you alongside us and knowing that you're here with us today is awful special. So thank you. And in your name, we pray.
Amen. I've never heard you say, hey, God.
I get real casual with prayer these days. I'll have to tell your listeners, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I've never been a very good prayer.
And I say that too.
Yeah, I just am not. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about this, but I grew up Catholic, and Catholicism has a lot of set prayers, the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Apostles' Creed, you know, things like that. And I really got into a place where I just want to talk to God like he's my friend. And so I try to make prayer very informal. I heard someone told me a story about there was someone they knew. I can't remember who it was, friend of a friend kind of thing, that never says amen because their view
the prayer
was,
never
yeah,
ends.
It never ends. It's a constant
conversation. I think he told me that.
Yeah, could have been. But I just thought that was a neat way to think about it.
I like that.
I don't necessarily do that much, but it's, I just try to get informal with it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, I'll say the more serious comment I have to that is I like that because prayer doesn't only have to be like speaking, like the way that we go through our days can also be an act of prayer. Like like you said, it never has to end, and everything we do, like we can be with God as in we are talking to him, like we're holding the door open for this person. Oh, thanks for allowing me to do that, God. Like, just that action and being in his presence is an act of worship, is being in close communication with God. But the funny thing I have to say to that is, when you said that, Peter and I always make this joke, and if you say this, it's not bad. We just think it's funny because this is just a funny word to our college kid brain, but a lot of, like, there's like a lot of jokes or like funny like memes about like Christian stereotypes, and there's one and it's this like woman praying and she's like super spiritual, and it's like the people that are like always lifting their hands, and I'm a hand lifter by the way, so I'm allowed to say this, but they're like always lifting their hands and they talk to God and they start their prayers with Dear Daddy God. And so when you said that, I was like, oh no, he's a Dear Daddy Godder, because they'll just start and they'll be like, Dear Daddy God, thank you so much, Daddy, and we're like, oh, that's weird. Dad doesn't think it's funny because he's old. It's funny. If you're young and youthful, then you're probably laughing right now, but it's a little bit after Dad's time, I guess.
I guess so, maybe.
You can pass that on to your group at church, and you can ask them if they say Dear Daddy God. And if any of them laugh, then they're young and hip and cool. So a little bit about Dad. Obviously, he's my dad. He's been my dad for 19 years now, so good job.
Still trying.
No comment.
Still trying. No.
No comment to that one. He works for Fruit of the Loom. He's a good little hard worker. He's one of those dads who doesn't tell you what he does. So I really couldn't tell you what, like, I know what he does, but like, I don't know what he does. He just really doesn't tell us.
Well, I'm in the sporting goods area of Fruit of the Loom. So I've been selling or marketing sporting goods my whole career. That's the most easiest way to say it.
Yeah, but he's like really good at his job. He just doesn't like to brag about it. But that's what I'm here for, so I'll brag about it. I've learned a lot about working hard, being diligent, staying on a good schedule, ambition, grit. I've learned that all from my dad and my mom too. But it's easier to see with my dad because he has like that, like my mom has a job too. I don't want to like be like, mom doesn't have a job, but dad has like the actual like income job of the house. And so I've learned a lot about like staying accountable and like people relying on you in the job work area place. Mom, don't worry, you have a hard working job too. She's sitting there like doing, as we're speaking, doing taxes. So they both work very hard. But my dad is a wonderful, loving husband. They've been married for
29 years. We're coming up on 29. Yeah.
I remember you guys getting married like it's yesterday.
28, 29,
yeah. I've also learned a lot about how a woman should be treated in a relationship. I've learned that all from my dad as well. And no pressure, Peter, but dad's a pretty good partner to have. So anyways, what else do you do? Oh, dad likes to run. He used to cook a lot.
Yeah, I used to cook more. I told your mom that the other day that that's kind of I'd like to start to do that again, and I haven't. But
Food Network type beat.
I like to run, and I got into fishing a lot.
And golf.
Not much golf anymore, but fishing when I can, and that was really from my father-in-law, your pawpaw, mom's dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was a big influence on me there. And
who also worked for Fruit of the Loom, so.
But Abby has a Nana, which is my mother. She lives out in Phoenix.
Hi, Nana, if you're listening.
And then Mama, which is Kelly, my wife's mom. So the two moms are still, God willing, they'll continue to be with us for a long, long time. But
and they're
unfortunately,
spunky, let me tell you.
Unfortunately, the two grandpas are not with us anymore. But
fortunately, they're in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So it all works out.
And you have an aunt in Nashville, that's my sister, and an uncle in Phoenix, and that's my older brother.
Hey guys, if any of you guys are listening, Von Hafen Murphy family, what's up everybody? Or the Saunders, what's up everybody? Anyways, and in Dad's youthful years, when he was around my age, the prime years of your existence, he was really into, horseback riding, baseball?
Baseball, football. I grew up going on my grandpa's ranch.
Grandpa.
Up in Oregon.
Grandpa.
And he was a rancher, cattle and horse. And
yeah.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Normal classic dad things.
Yeah.
But one thing that really sticks out to me about my dad, which as I've gotten older, I've really appreciated, is his faith journey. Because I've seen, as like all of our faith journeys have grown, I've really, really, really seen my dad shift, not only in his faith, but with the shift in faith comes a shift in priorities, personality, intentionality, and just how he goes about like his daily life and what's important to him. Like when I was younger, what used to be more important were, I don't know, I don't remember, I was younger, but it wasn't as what it is now, to where it's like, oh, I'm going to lead this group at church, or oh, I'm going to be a part of this thing to go serve for whatever ministry, or, you know. And so that is something that's really, really cool to watch him do that. And so, like he said, he grew up in the Catholic school, went to a Catholic school, and we talked a little bit about it, but just like explain the difference between like your childhood outlook on faith and Jesus, and then your relationship now with Jesus.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, and to describe it as a journey is really the right way to describe it. I was raised Catholic, and that comes from my father's side of the family, and we were a Catholic family. I went to Catholic high school. And Catholicism, actually, I was what's called an altar boy, so I would be up with the priest on the up on the altar.
Didn't you say that you couldn't throw away the communion wine? So do you call him the priest?
Priest,
the
yeah.
priest would like chug the.
Well, wine. Or they have to. There's certain ways that they have to.
But he could chug it if he wanted to.
I don't know. I didn't.
Hey,
there's
all those Catholic
really,
priests out there.
There's not really that much. No, they would normally put it back with the other wine, but.
But
then when I got into high school, I became what's called a Eucharistic minister, so I could actually give others.
What?
The Eucharist. You never knew that about me. Yep.
What's a Eucharist?
Communion. So I could actually, but you had to study. You have to go to classes. There's more.
I didn't know that.
There's more formality in Catholicism to some of these things. Of course, there's the sacraments in Catholicism. So
then you have to do like confession.
Confession. You know, all those things. Marriage. All these things are sacraments, and yes, confession to be forgiven of your sins. You talk to a priest and you confess. So,
And if you're Catholic listening right now, it's not like saying like, oh, this is a certain way to go about your religion and this isn't a certain, we're just describing like the shift. So if you are Catholic right now, like more, you know, we all believe the same thing, you know, but it's just a different way of
absolutely
going
not
about
all.
It.
And but that's just my story. So just to give a little bit of how I was raised, and I always like I had this great respect for Catholicism and religion, but I thought of it more as we go to, it's called Mass. When you're Catholic, you say we go to Mass mm-hmm. instead of go to church or whatever. It's just different terms. There's really no difference. But, you know, I thought of it more as I go to Mass on Sunday. I actually took religion classes in high school because I went to a Catholic high school. But, you know, it just, as I got later in life, it just didn't stay with me mm-hmm. as much. And I didn't know why. You know, I went to college and I kind of stopped going to Mass and to church. When your mom and I got married, we started to go again, but it just still didn't feel, I just didn't feel as connected to it. And it took me later in life to realize I wasn't. You know, sometimes you don't realize your feelings yeah. about things when mm-hmm. you're in the moment. But, and actually it started, well, about the time we moved here to Bowling Green. I really started to seek out, I'm not sure the why or whatever, but I tried to seek out, I needed faith. I decided that faith needed to be a bigger part of my life and I wanted it to be a part of my life, but I just couldn't find a way that,
like how to go about it.
Felt that it was a way that it connected with me. And, so we were going to a church here. It's a Methodist church here in Bowling Green. And I really liked it. And I started to meet a couple of people there and got involved with some groups and started to make a, understand a way of looking at my faith that was more of a relationship with God mm-hmm. and a friendship with Jesus Christ. It's more of a love-based friendship, relationship,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to something that I just had trouble connecting to that just didn't feel as much that
well,
way.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you in Catholicism have to like go through someone to speak to God?
Well, no, not necessarily. Just you're probably thinking of confession.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So the priest sort of acts as that, but not to speak to God. And there is all the fundamentals of Christianity are the same in terms mm-hmm. of Catholicism and other Christian religions. You know, Jesus Christ was God in life form, was crucified, was buried,
mm-hmm.
resurrected. All the fundamentals are still there. It's more just in practice. But forget about the religious things yeah. for a second. For me, it was when I started to make this connection of this is a relationship. And I never thought about it that way. And it was such a relief. It was such a mm-hmm. better way for me to think about it. And yeah, so that's what really, and it's been years and years of me sort of building on that. And I'd say I still have so far to go, but yeah, when it just felt like, felt more that way, it started to become a more important mm-hmm. part of my life.
Well, I think too, we can't beat ourselves up either. Like when you say I still have so far to go, like, all of us do. I mean, when you think about it, none of us are ever going to do enough. Like, there's nothing that will amount to sending your son to die on the cross for our sins to save us continuously over and over and over again. So, like, we aren't done trying to, in everything we do, give it to the glory of God until we're dead. Like, God isn't finished with us until we're dead. So we just keep going. Like we're never going to do enough. We're going to keep falling short and keep falling short. But I think that's really cool I was talking to Dad a little bit about this before, but it's really cool how, like, for me, and I feel like a lot of Christians, you kind of get quote unquote saved from, I mean, everyone gets saved at different points in their life, but when it really clicks for you, I think a lot of times it's like, first you have that, oh, he wants a relationship with me. And then later on you move into, well, let me dig into the word about this and really do that more like research, know the knowledge type of deal. So it's like, first you find the relationship, then you want the knowledge. But it seems like for Dad, it was kind of the opposite. Like how you said, like it was more textbook. And then it shifted to, oh wait, this dude really just wants a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of less common from what I hear. And like, yeah, you know, it's like you were born with like, oh, this is how this is done and this is how this is done and blah, 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 to where it can put so much emphasis on like the works. But then you later come to realize like he just, like, I'm just his son. Like, he literally just loves me like a father because that's what he is. Like, he just wants to spend time with me.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I finally understood too is I used to very much think, well, you know, God, don't worry about spending time with me. There's so many other people that need more help, or there's more people mm-hmm. in need, or there's more issues to deal with. You don't, you know, just don't worry about me. And that is really the wrong way to think about it. And even when you might be mad at God, or you're mad at the world, or you sort of lose some of that focus.
Normal feeling.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up, but also know it's normal and we're human.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was gonna say was we have to give ourselves a break that's think about your own friends and own best friends in life. Mm-hmm. It's that's really like, the apathy. It's really having no relationship. Like if someone all of a sudden stops talking to you, that's what mm-hmm. really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
If you are mad at somebody, or you're happy with somebody, or thrilled with somebody, and that's kind of God sitting there saying, look, just I'm big enough. I'm there for you no matter what your feelings are, and we'll work through this together. But just don't. He's just kind of mm-hmm. saying, just don't ignore me. You know, just have a relationship with me.
Well, and I think it's also like so often we compare like he wants a relationship with you like a best friend or like a father and a son or like blah, blah, blah. But we also do, and I think it's very easy to forget, we have to remember this is the ultimate creator of the entire universe who is perfect that we're talking about. So like in life, there will be people who it's like, okay, like forgiveness, like you have a falling out with someone, like, yeah, forgive. You don't have to invest time in them. Like once you've forgiven, you know, you can still love them and you should love them. But there are people who, like, you know, you don't really hang out with as much or as often. But like in this scenario with the creator of who you are, he is your best friend forever who will never leave. Like he will never do anything to hurt you. He's perfect. He will allow things that you might not be able to see in the moment that can look like, oh, why is God letting this happen to me? Like, why do bad things happen to good people? Like, if God really loves me, he wouldn't let this happen. Well, God really does love you and he's preparing you. Like, he's allowing this to happen so that it'll strengthen you, so that you'll come out better on the other side. And I think that's something to remember in your relationship with the Lord. Because, like, with a best friend, like, no best friend's going to be like, oh, like, in real life, no best friend's going to be like, oh, I'm going to let this hard thing happen to you because I know it'll make you stronger. Like, we don't have that power as humans. But, like, God is so other, he knows, you know, and he just wants what's best for us. He only has the best in mind for us.
Well, and those things get hard, right? It's hard to understand that kind of love. It's hard to mm-hmm. understand,
especially
that,
in the moment too.
Yeah, and it's very hard. And I had a really tough time. I still do, getting to the point of living with this unconditional love. It's hard even for me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it the closest thing, although it's still, you can't compare it, but the closest thing is my love for you and your sister, Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a parent and child is a love that is above all I have on earth, on this world. And, you know, you start to get a little bit of a sense, a small sense anyways, of what that love mm-hmm. love means. And, you know, when I try to make that comparison, it helps me a little bit think about mm-hmm. and even bigger picture, you know, it's I think a lot about, am I being good enough of what God wants me to be doing? I just have trouble. I'm not a good Bible reader. I'm not a good scripture person, all these things. And sometimes I've kind of beat myself up about that, but I also think, no, I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should at least have the desire, aspiration to do a little bit more of that. But even Jesus Christ, before he left, It was more of, look, if you forget anything else, everybody, just love God with all your heart mm-hmm. and mind, and just love each other. And if you need to know how to love each other, look at how I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And just that simple concept, I kind of go back to that and just try to simplify things.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot in this world that would be a lot better if we had more of just that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really well put. And that's like the most important thing. Love God and love people. And so many times that's really hard for it to come naturally for us. So I think that's where the Bible does like it helps you in that way. Cause it's like, how do you learn how to love like God? You like go look, like there's a whole book about it and that's how you can find that. But I think like the love of a father and a son or of a parent and a child, like you said, is so other. Like I don't have a child, but I mean, the closest thing I've come to it is babysitting. And even the way that I love those kids, like it's a type of love I've never experienced before. And so as we come into this weekend and everything that goes into this weekend, it's crazy to just think about like, God didn't sacrifice, I mean, he did sacrifice himself because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Trinity are three in one, which is a very, very hard concept to wrap your head around, and not the topic of this podcast, but if in the future, if that's something that the listeners are interested in, diving deep into like the details of what that all means, I would love to do a podcast episode on that. But not necessarily just sending himself, but sending his son, like sacrificing his son for us. And so this weekend, the Friday, we call it Good Friday. And it is basically when Jesus was nailed on the cross. He was nailed in his hands, his feet. He had a crown of thorns on his head. Wasn't it? It was two hands. And then they crossed his feet and put a nail through his feet, right?
Correct.
And so you're sitting there on this chunk of wood, and he was crucified with two other men. They made him carry his cross by himself. I wonder, I'm going to look it up, how much the cross weighed. Do you know?
Heavy, but I don't know. This was not a light. I think the vertical bar mm-hmm. is already in place. He's carrying the crossbar.
Oh,
I think is how.
Oh,
yeah. There's a
165 pounds.
Yeah, there's a whole history to all of this, but it, you know, it is it's rough to hear that story, really rough. And there's been some pretty specific sort of movies and things depicted of it, and mm-hmm. it's a very, very rough thing. And all of that pain and agony and the art of you know, crucifixion, what they used to do to people back then. And he was up on the cross and
literally hanging from his hands and his feet, like if like his weight is falling forward, right? Because there's like nothing holding him on his back.
He's actually sinking, if you can think about a body sinking because they can't hold themselves up. Mm-hmm. And this is after being, you know, beaten and all the rest of it. And what is just a pivotal point for me, or a point that I just, you just can't believe, is that as he's hanging there, and I just can't even imagine the kind of pain and agony, and his mother is at his feet just weeping for him, is that he looked up at God and said, please forgive these people, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, that was his concern at that point in time. And he looked to the thief to his right, or right or left, I can't remember which one, and said, you're going to be in heaven with me.
Yeah.
And those were his concerns as he was, you know, so in so much pain. So that's the kind of love that, you know, you just, it's hard to fathom.
It's, you can't put it into words. It surpasses all understanding. That is my go-to phrase for Jesus in any adjective of word that I can use to describe, because you just don't understand it. It's like...
Yeah, but and it's this time of year that reminds me of, you know, this just trying to love each other every day a little bit mm-hmm. more. I mean, if that's what this person would do for us,
yeah, seriously.
The least we can do for each other is go through our day, and you know, you never know what people what people are going through, people that you encounter every day, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going through struggles and pains and different things in their lives that you'll know nothing about. And just a smile, just a hello, someone who's checking you out of store at the cash register, you saying, hey, thank you, you're doing a really good job today. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things can matter, they do, that's a great way to put it, they matter. Mm-hmm. And it's not that to beat yourself up if you're not doing that, it's just to, it's times like these that just remind us to to be more conscious and intentional about those things. And you know, do that to yourself too. Feel better about yourself. There's a lot of struggles right now, especially coming out of this pandemic, that society is having. Mm-hmm. And we as individuals have to recover from all of this. And I think we weren't meant to be alone. We're meant to be together. And that means loving each other and trying to help each other through it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, and I also think it's very easy. I know I've been a victim of this, or I guess a culprit. I don't know what the word is. Like, I've done this, which is, I hate to admit, but I'm going to admit it because I'm all, like, open on this podcast. What's the point of not being open? Like, I'm just going to share, because I'm sure other people have at least caught themselves thinking like this. But it's like, so often, even just in the church, we need this more than we do outside of the church, because like the church is built for sinners. I'm a sinner. Dad's a sinner. We're all sinners. And so often around like Christmas and Easter, we're like, oh, well, that's when everyone goes to church. Like, well, you know, like some people just go on Easter and Christmas, and it's like I catch myself thinking like, oh, like, you know, it's awful that I think this, but it's like, oh, well, you know, they just go just to like check it off the list, you know. And I hate thinking that, but it's just a human thought that just pops into my brain. And it's actually quite the opposite. It's like, that's when I need to remind myself, like, dude, love everyone. Like, who cares if they're in the church? They're in church. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what time they're in church. They're in church, even if it is just a checklist thing. Like, there have definitely been Sundays where I hate to admit it, but again, like, it's a checklist thing for me. Like, it's that just, at least they're there. Like, at least you're there. Even if you're not feeling it, like, at least you're there, you know?
I hear a couple of preachers, I listen to podcasts sometimes. One of them's out of Atlanta, Andy Stanley, and even one here, and said the same kind of sentiment. It's like Christmas and Easter are the two times where people, if you invite them, I mean, those are the tendencies to go to church. And yeah, as opposed to saying, oh, well, they're just there because it's Easter and Christmas, is flip the script, just like you just said it, and celebrate them.
Like, yes,
you know, celebrate. Say, oh, it's great that you're here, you know. So,
some of the most important parts in Jesus's life. I mean, his birth and his rebirth. Like, those are things where so many people should come. Yeah. And it's awesome that we're given this time and we're allowed to do that. So you're listening on a Friday. If you have that someone who will not come to church or needs a friend to ask them to church, please, please ask them. And if you feel like you should go to church and you never have before, if you don't know where to go, come with me, text me, DM me. Sunday morning, Crossland Community Church. You can sit with me and my family, and we will be more than happy for you to come if you need someone to go with. Seriously, this is my open invitation from the Murphys to you. Please join us for church. Right, Mom? Right, Dad?
Right.
Right. I've enjoyed going to the churches you and Morgan have found in Nashville, too. We've gone the past several weeks. Those have been fun. And I just really enjoy the different kind of ways that I'm getting exposed to in these different churches. There's Broadway here that we went to for mm-hmm. we have gone to,
and Dad leads a church group at Broadway, so if you want a church group to go to,
but Broadway and then and Crossland, the two in Nashville. And I just appreciate hearing different voices, different mm-hmm. perspectives. I think that's important too, but again, at the end of the day, it's about this sort of love-based approach to this relationship, but I do like getting exposed to different sort of points of view.
Well, and I think it's so easy too. What I found is like, it's so easy to get caught up in like judging the church. Like, oh, that was my watch. It's 4 o'clock. But it gets, it's so easy for just Christians to judge within the, like, the different houses of the Lord. Like, oh, this church is too preachy, or this church is too pep talky, or this church is too concerty, or whatever. Like, they're preaching the word, you know? And there are definitely, like, I guess, red flags that you should stay away from. And, like, okay, if they literally don't open the Bible and they don't talk about Jesus, you know, maybe you shouldn't be spending your time there. That might not be, like, where you should be. But, like, at the end of the day, we need less focus on, like, oh, my way of this is better. And, you know, like, if you're Catholic, like, oh, Catholic way of this is better. Or if you're not, like, oh, Methodist this, or Baptist this, or blah, blah, blah. We all love Jesus and Jesus loves us. Yeah. And that's literally the reason that he died on the cross, was because he loves us for the forgiveness of our sins.
And I think the way I've kind of come to want to believe, at least this is what I believe, I'm not speaking for anybody but myself, is that it's not a, God's not keeping score on this, how many times you went to church and what church you're going to and all. And you're right. So why should we worry about those things? These things aren't measured. There's no scoreboard to this. And I think we all have to find our own way, where we're comfortable and where it can come play a role in your life, a productive and healthy healing part of your life. And if that's the path you're on, wherever community you're in or wherever you can find, that's a good thing. So yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. But seriously, if you need a place to go on Easter, come with us, Crossland Community Church or Broadway United Methodist Church. We'll be at both. That's really all I have to say. I think we covered most of the...
So how has this podcast experience been for you, Miss Abby?
Wow, I never get asked the questions. Yeah. Honestly, the podcast just brightens my day. Like,
how many episodes? What episode is this?
I think this might be 20.
20? You've reached 20?
Well, I started like the last Sunday of December. So this has really been a 2022 thing.
Well, I've been very proud of you. You have not missed a week.
It's so important to me.
Yeah. It's and I love every one of them. You obviously continue to enjoy it. So
I love it so much. I think my biggest struggle is just like finding different things to talk about, but it's kind of like when I pray about, oh, like, Lord, I need something to talk about, it's like the next day I have something hard happen to me and it's like, okay, well, I mean, I did pray for it, so now I'm gonna share it and use it. So I am grateful. What,
this is gonna be the
22nd.
Pretty impressive.
Wow. I wish it was like the 30th or something, so it could be like 3, because Jesus rose in 3 days, which we didn't even talk about. Sunday, that is Jesus raising from the dead after being crucified on the cross, and that is so joyous. And he was buried in a, I guess not really buried, if it's in a tomb.
Right. I think that word is okay to use. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Well, he was in the tomb. Yeah. Long story short, the rock was moved and the tomb was empty, which means that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the reason for the season. And he walked around with the holes in his hands. I mean, like, when we go to heaven, like, he's going to have those holes in his hands, you know? It's just crazy to think about, but I'm so excited. But I don't want to take away from, you know, the sadness of Friday, because it is something really sad. And, like, yes, he did rise, but, like, no one knew that at the time. Like, they literally thought he was dead. I think the preacher talked about this, like, isn't it, like, 3 days? That means, like, that you're actually dead. Like, they, like, waited 3 days or something.
You're getting into an area that I'm afraid I don't know a whole lot. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I think that's what she said. You know what? Remember when she said that?
I listened to that sermon. You're talking about from church.
Yeah, on Sunday she said, which I had no idea, but apparently like 3 days post your burial, like that meant that you were actually dead. Because they buried you with a bell or something, right? Just in case if you were buried and then you like woke up.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I, so I guess they buried Jesus with a bell then. And the bell didn't ring. But he just, I'm going to have to look into that. I'll fill you guys in next week. Huh. Interesting. So many interesting things. Yeah.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
This Daughter, has been a lot of fun. This I'm has been so a lot happy. Of fun. I'm so happy that Dad finally got to come on the podcast, and just because he is such a wise man, and you don't give yourself enough credit for
No, I don't think so. I'm just trying to be a good, helpful father to my two daughters and husband to my wife. And as long as I have you guys, then I have a lot to be grateful for.
Well, shucks. Thanks, Dad. You're the best. Wait, I don't know how to get off the podcast. Because, okay, when I'm with Mom, I say, that's life. And she goes, and that's Mama.
Not that's Daddy.
And we are not going to say that's Daddy.
We'll just...
that's Daddy God. Dear Daddy God.
I'll just say, Happy Easter to everybody.
Okay.
That'll be my ending.
Happy Easter on three. One, two, three.
Happy Easter.
Thank you guys for listening. Jesus loves you. I love you. And Dad loves you. That's life.